Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's classic series on the family called Biblical Parenting. We're pleased you've decided to join us for practical instruction on building healthy relationships in the home. In our culture today, we seem to celebrate the virtue of tolerance at the expense of calling out a son or daughter for their unacceptable behavior. Sometimes, to attain all God intended, moms, dads, sons, and daughters need to confront rebellion. Discipline, combined with an occasional rebuke, are God's instruments for shaping character. Chuck Swindoll begins today by reading from the Proverbs.
When we open God's Word, we are again dealing with three great doctrines. One has to do with revelation, which is God's giving His Word, revealing His Word to men and women during biblical days. That has ceased. And then there is inspiration, where those who received the Word recorded it without error. So that what you have in the original autographs is an inerrant text of Holy Scripture, inspiration, which has ceased. But now we enjoy the benefits of illumination, where we're able to understand, grasp the truths that are recorded for us, like today on the subject of reproof. If you understand anything as a result of today's teaching, it is called illumination, where the Spirit of God takes print from a page, burns it into your mind, and then ultimately leads you to walk in it by application. So we look forward not to revelation, that's ceased. We have God's book, not to inspiration, that has ceased. That passage of Scripture we'll be looking at, each one is inspired of God, but illumination, as our eyes are opened and we see, we hear what we would not otherwise know. I'll be reading for you from Proverbs, beginning at chapter 3. If you haven't already located the book, please do so. A good way to remember is that the Psalms are right about the center of your Bible, and the very next book to the right is Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. And turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Verse 10. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. Verse 31 of the same chapter, 15:31, he whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. One other proverb, chapter 27, verse 6. 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And finally, a few verses from the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Verse 1, chapter 6, Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Such wise counsel from a book that is ageless, timeless, and true.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us.
I have never heard anyone speak on reproofs. Isn't that interesting? Even though I have listened to numerous messages about the home and family, I have delivered a number of them in my ministry, I do not believe there's ever been a time that I've pulled back and looked at the value of the reproofs that come from those who love us. In fact, it is mentioned so seldom that some of you may not even know what I'm referring to. Among other things, it has to do with caring enough to confront. Exhibiting tough love, speaking the truth at the right time for the right reason in the right way, saying the hard thing to someone who we love, helping them understand that there's a blind spot in their life that is detrimental to them and or to others. Now, you just don't do that with strangers on the street. Of course not. You wouldn't lean over and say to someone sitting right next to you, I need to reprove you about something, if you don't know them. And you certainly should never do such things in public. And so for this reason, it is something that fits the home perfectly. As we're growing up, we have parents who observe things about our behavior or our attitudes, and they address them if they are faithful, loving parents. And many of us were blessed with such. And then as we marry, we find that the wife or the husband takes up that role and on occasion will say things no one else would say. This is especially true when an individual has reached a place of power over people, a role of real authority. I thought of that when someone handed me a letter that Clementine Churchill gave her husband Winston. A wife's letter to her husband. And what's interesting is that it was sent to him on the month and in the year when the Blitzkrieg was at its height. You who are too young to know anything of the Second World War would not know that the Luftwaffe, the German bombers, came and mercilessly bombed Great Britain, hoping ultimately to break her back. The pressure, the stress of that time rested in many ways on the shoulders of Sir Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister, a powerful man in a powerful position, who ultimately led that nation to victory. In the midst of that time, Clemmy, as he called his wife, wrote this letter. My darling, I hope you will forgive me. Oh, when you start with a letter like that, you know you're in for some real tough talk. I hope you will forgive me if I tell you something I feel you ought to know. One of the men in your entourage, a devoted friend, has been to me and told me that there is a danger of your being generally disliked by your colleagues and subordinates because of your rough, sarcastic, and overbearing manner. It seems your private secretaries have agreed to behave like schoolboys and take what's coming to them and then escape out of your presence, shrugging their shoulders. Higher up, if an idea is suggested, say at a conference, you are so contemptuous that presently no ideas, good or bad, will be forthcoming. I was astonished and upset, she writes, because in all these years I have been accustomed to all those who have worked with and under you loving you. I said this and I was told, well, no doubt it's the strain. My darling Winston, I must confess that I have noticed a deterioration in your manner, and you are not so kind as you used to be. It is for you to give the orders, and they are, if they are bungled, except for the king, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the speaker, you can sack anyone and everyone. Therefore, with this terrific power, you must combine urbanity, kindness, and if possible, Olympic calm. I cannot bear that those who serve the country and yourself should not love as well as admire and respect you. Besides, you won't get the best results by irascibility and rudeness. They will breed either dislike or a slave mentality. And rebellion in wartime is out of the question. Please forgive your loving, devoted, and watchful Clemmy. To Winston Churchill. Why did it work? She's his wife. She has a corner on his attention in life. No other woman does. She has the discernment that has been gleaned and gained over years of marriage. She knows her darling Winston. She knows him well enough to confront, because she knew that if that continued, it would take a toll on the morale of the people, to say nothing, his own immediate associates and team members. And so, allow me to spend a little bit of time defining the term, and then we'll look at sections of scripture where it is mentioned and draw from that truths to live by. When we reprove another person, we confront attitudes and or actions that need to be corrected. We refuse to look the other way or just ignore because they're under stress and strain, because we know that what we're sharing is good for the one we love and those whose lives she or he touches. To reprove is to risk saying the hard thing. It is to point out what needs to be addressed and probably won't be by most other people, if anyone. Again, it's caring enough to confront. How valuable are friends who love us that much? It was Sir Francis Bacon in the 17th century who wrote in his essay on friendship, "The best preservative to keep the mind in health is the faithful admonition of a friend." I hope you have a few. I'm sad for you if you do not. I regret where your life will go without the watchful eye of one who loves you enough to tell you the truth. Reproof isn't condemning criticism. It isn't a public rebuke that embarrasses. It isn't an angry outburst. Reproof isn't constantly finding fault. So if you're going there, stop going there and reverse your direction. None of us need someone who constantly finds fault with us. And unfortunately, I have seen marriages like that. I've seen young adult children say to me, I've heard them say, when I think back to our home, all I can remember is a father's frown and a mother's critical tongue. How sad. That isn't reproof. That's condemnation. But how wise are those of us who've had the privilege of listening to parents look at us and say, I need to tell you something that you need to hear for your good. And interestingly, when it was effective, it was always said in private. You were never embarrassed in a public setting. Reproof is to be kept on a one-to-one basis. And they are infrequent. I mean, it's not something you do every day. It's too much. If you do this every day, someone sent me the words of a man who wrote his rabbi. Speaking of that, he goes to his rabbi and he says, Rabbi, something terrible is happening and I have to talk to you about it. Rabbi asked, what's wrong? Man replied, my wife is poisoning me. Rabbi, very surprised by this, says, how can that be? The man pleads, I'm telling you, I'm certain she's poisoning me. What should I do? Rabbi, wait. Tell you what, let me talk with her and I'll see what I can find out and I'll let you know. A week later, the rabbi calls the man back and says, I spoke to her on the phone and I listened to her for 3 hours. You want my advice? Take the poison. Somewhere down the line, there's a woman who failed to learn from the reproofs, so that now her life is characterized by making her husband and family miserable. It's the result of resisting, rejecting, and ignoring reproofs. It's after thought and prayer, and at just the right time, it is saying in private what you know must be said and cannot be left unsaid. It is speaking the truth in love so that the other person can grow up in that area of his or her life. One of the healthy marks of a mature relationship is the freedom to talk straight. It is one of the things that makes marriage so magnificent. Who else loves us like that partner loves us? Who else can we trust more to talk truth than she or he? Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, we read of a reproof everyone would agree with. It's called divine reproof, and it happens rather regularly to Christians. Proverbs 3, verse 11, my son. By the way, this is in the my son section of Proverbs, which runs from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 7. My son, my son, my son. This is counsel a daddy is giving a son. This is counsel for the family. My son, he says in chapter 3 and verse 11, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. Notice it's from the Lord, or loathe his reproofs. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. I love the way that reads. God doesn't reprove us because he despises us. Oh, on the contrary. He loves us so much, he cannot hold back from reproving us. And haven't we all experienced it? Maybe no one else said anything, but you knew when you went to bed that night, you shouldn't have said that day. Or when you reacted as you did at the office, you shouldn't have reacted like that. You really owe them an apology. That's called a reproof from God. When you know that your temper has flown off a handle or you've gone too far, you've been overbearing, then the Lord reproves you and he reveals that to you. There isn't a voice in the night. There isn't handwriting in the sky from God. There is just a deep down sense of conviction, good conviction, the right kind of guilt that says you need to get this, you need to make this right. Don't despise, don't reject the discipline of the Lord. He's reproving you because like a father with a son, he delights in you. One of the ways our children know that we delight in them is that we care enough to tell them the truth. Who else can? We all look back on our childhood, at least I hope you can, I certainly do, to those times when our dad or our mom pulled us aside, set us down in a room, said, I want you to listen to me now because there are some things you need to learn, son. Or, sweetheart, there are some things I need to confront you with. You're wise if you listen to that, especially if you hear it and then begin the process of breaking a bad habit. Every time I see adults that carry out their life with a series of bad habits, I know they have not been reproved. Or they have been reproved and they have not accepted it. Usually it means they have not been mentored. One of the great things about a mentor is not only instruction, but a reproof. I've had several mentors in my life. Every one of them reproved me about something. Every one of them delighted in me. I felt greatly loved, but it stung. I've heard another reproof from one who loves me more than anyone else. And she has said to me, "You are impatient, sweetheart." And I will say, no, I'm not. And she will say, no, yes, yes, you are. For example, and then she'll mention something that revealed impatience. And then it's even to the point where I tend to finish people's sentences. A reproof is hard to hear. One of my mentors said to me years ago, I'll never forget it, Chuck, you have a great sense of humor, but unfortunately, it's often at someone else's expense. He was right. That's why my humor was often back then sarcastic. And sometimes I would say things that would embarrass one in the room, but everybody else would laugh. But the one person who didn't laugh is offended at my expense. If someone is to look foolish, I ought to be the one that looks foolish, not someone else.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll about accepting reproof from those who love us. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. Receiving criticism is humbling. In a moment, I want you to hear the comments from one of your fellow listeners who's in a season of reproof and forgiveness. Chuck is here with an important closing comment as well. But first, as we conclude another week of Bible study together, I'll take a moment to tell you how much it means to Chuck and all of us at Insight for Living whenever we receive your feedback. We know that you have lots of extra pressure on your household right now, with a global pandemic demanding so much attention. Even so, we're thrilled to hear that Chuck's teaching continues to comfort and convict. Recently, we heard from one of your fellow listeners who shared a deeply personal response. He said, Chuck, thank you for your grace message about Joseph. Certainly, the Lord gave you insight in extracting grace from Joseph's hardship for my benefit, comfort, and assurance. I'm in the midst of the painful prison of injustice, with only the promise from God that I'll be greatly rewarded in the future. Surely, I must forgive my tormentors and say, Father, forgive them, for in their ignorance, they don't realize what they are doing. Well, these sacred moments of application are made possible through the power of God's Word and the many men and women in our listening family who financially support Insight for Living. Thank you so much for your generosity, especially during this threatening pandemic crisis, when men and women around the world are looking to this program for comfort and encouragement. Chuck?
Turn on your radio or your television And there's no shortage of advice for staying healthy these days. You know the drill. Take your temperature, wash your hands, and as you do, sing happy birthday twice. And by all means, don't touch your face. I know. These disciplines are all very important. They truly are. But at Insight for Living Ministries, when I tell you that we're here to help, I'm referring to a much different role, a different kind of discipline. You see, surviving COVID-19 takes far more good hygiene and hunkering down at the house. And so we're doing what we've always done. We're teaching the Bible. We're pointing to the timeless promises of the Scriptures. We open the Word of God and we show you how it relates to every part of your life, even the survival of a global pandemic. For many, coronavirus has meant we've instantly become full-time remote employees and full-time homeschoolers or caregivers for our kids and grandkids, and maybe for our grandparents. If you feel like you're drowning in these stormy, uncharted waters, you're not alone. We're going to walk this journey with you every step of the way. And so, just as I promise to deliver Insight for Living to you every day, I'm asking that you reciprocate in your faithful and generous support. Please, don't allow your giving habits to slip so that our daily visits can continue uninterrupted. Hey, let's do more than survive the pandemic, okay? Let's thrive, but let's do that together. To give a donation, just follow these simple instructions from Dave. And by the way, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Chuck. To respond, give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. Chuck Swindoll continues his message about accepting reproof from those who love us, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.